Hey, good morning, guys. Well, the DoD budget rollout was a little bit different this year than in most years and most other agencies this year, since we already knew the numbers. They announced those and where most of the savings would come from a couple weeks ago, at least at a fairly high level when Secretary Panetta rolled out the new DoD strategic guidance, you know, how DoD is going to slim down and cut out $487 billion over the next 10 years. And just to cover the official numbers, though, their 2013 budget calls for reductions in the defense program of previously planned spending of $259 billion over DoD's five-year spending plan. And the numbers start to come down right away next year. They will add $32 billion less next year than they actually got in the current year. And that counts both the base budget and the overseas contingency operations account. So it incorporates both the Iraq and Afghanistan drawdowns. Secretary Panetta and Joint Chiefs Chairman Martin Dempsey will be on the Hill today to defend their cuts to lawmakers, some of whom think the Pentagon and the president are already cutting too much, let alone what would happen under the sequestration scenario.
Now, Jared, a certain portion of the savings DOD is planning on is going to come from budget cuts to the health care costs and the rate of growth there. What's going on?
Yeah, Tom, that's actually one of the more significant pieces of news I thought yesterday. DOD says they really have to get their arms around health care, and they've been saying that for quite a while, as we know. But just to add a little bit of color to this, in 2001, DOD spent $19 billion on health care. It's a lot of money, obviously. But this year, they're going to ask for almost $49 billion next year. And that includes their proposals that they rolled out yesterday, which they say are going to save about $2 billion. I won't get too far into the weeds about what's happening to each specific TRICARE plan, but we do have some of the specifics up already at federalnewsradio.com. Bottom line, though, is they want to raise fees for TRICARE again, and they want to do it a lot more than they did last time. Bob Hale, the DOD comptroller, says they would come in a tiered approach. Retirees who earn more from their pensions would pay more for health care.
For in that upper tier earning $45,000 or more in retired pay, they will all be officers. The fees go from $520 a year for TRICARE Prime to, after a four-year phase, into $1,950. So it would still be quite generous compared to typical private sector plans, for example, the Aetna plan that we benchmark to, or the Blue Cross plan in Federal Employees Health Benefit for family coverage, more like $4,000 to $5,000 a year. So we still think that it's generous, as it should be, but that we also feel we need to move in this direction to hold down our costs. A lot less for the lower tiers. For example, those earning less than $22,000, the fee goes from $520 to $850, a much smaller increase.
Frankly, it's hard to see, though, how this gets too far in Congress. DOD, you'll remember, proposed much more mild TRICARE increases last year. They didn't get everything they wanted even then, but retiree groups immediately yesterday started criticizing this, vowing to fight it. The chairman of the House Armed Services Committee also criticized this and several of the other personnel provisions.
So, Jared, let's talk a little bit about other things that might be affecting personnel, pay and benefits for active duty military, for example, and civilians. Any changes there?
Not immediately on the uniform side. DOD wants a pay raise of about 1.7% next year for military personnel and the year after that. Then significantly smaller raises starting in 2015. They're thinking in the neighborhood of a half percentage point for 2015, then maybe a little bit more after that in the following couple of years, maybe back up to 1.5%. They say they're trying to match private sector raises. They're going to have to see what the impact is on, you know, recruiting and retention. They may have to adjust that in the out years. For civilian personnel, the budget does reflect the 0.5% pay increase that everybody else is getting, at least according to the president's proposal across the federal workforce. But the civilian workforce in the Pentagon will go down by about 1%, from 764,000 to 756,000. They may need to do some buyouts, early outs, delay some new civilian hiring, things like that, to get to that 1%. But so far, it's too early to tell what they'll need to do. Some areas, though, like the acquisition workforce, cyber, et cetera, would actually grow. Just to touch on acquisition, and these are some pretty representative numbers, I think. The Defense Contract Management Agency, for example, is going to take its workforce from about 10,000 to 12,000. The Defense Contract Audit Agency is going to go from about 4,400 to 5,100. And then as for military retirement, there's no proposal to rein in those costs, at least not yet.
We are asking Congress to set up a Military Retirement Modernization Commission that will have the time and staff to look at this very complicated area of military compensation and make recommendations. If Congress approves, and we would ask that that commission operate under the procedures similar to the BRAC Commission, if they recommend that Congress approves any changes, the administration strongly supports full grandfathering. That is, they would only apply to new recruits coming in after the changes were made.
So, again, that supports pretty much what Secretary Panetta has said in the past, and that pretty well covers our pay and benefits areas, I think.
We're speaking with DOD reporter Jared Serbu, and what are some of the other savings outside of pay and benefits?
Well, a lot of it comes from shrinking the military. Again, something we've already had a pretty fair amount of detail on. The ground forces coming down most prominently over the next 5 years, 60 to 80,000 soldiers coming out of the Army. You know, cancellations and delays to a few weapon systems here and there. The F-35, for example, there's a reduced buy to deal with this problem of concurrency, where when you're building the system and testing it at the same time, you end up having to make some costly modifications potentially. And there's also another round of efficiency initiatives. They're not calling them that anymore. They're now calling them better management of defense dollars.
We did that. We made a number of proposals reducing expenses in the Office of Secretary of Defense and the defense agencies by terminating lower priority programs, By reductions in contract funding. I won't go through all of these. We rephased military construction. I'm going to talk in a few moments about some force structure cuts. In some cases, that left us unsure where we need to make the MILCON investments, so we rephased them. Better buying practices. We're doing a number of things in that area. Setting goals for weapon systems early in their development, like the SSBNX and the bomber. More use of should cost as well as the will cost numbers based on history that we budget to. Better management of service contracts, a major area where we think we can do better. And finally, we'll try to improve financial information and achieve audit readiness.
Oh, just to hit a couple more of the things in that $60 billion savings bucket, $10 billion of it, I should say, up front is actually just the fact that the entire federal civilian workforce is only getting a 0.5% pay raise next year, so not a particular innovation by DOD. There are some other things, though, some of them kind of interesting. The Navy is going to make a push for strategic sourcing, both for goods and services. They think that'll save about $2 billion there. The Army plans to get about $5 billion out of streamlining its installation support services. All three military departments actually are claiming about $1 billion each in savings just from moving to enterprise-wide IT services and consolidating their networks.
So, Jared, just real quick, I mean, we'll keep this in perspective. This, of course, is the president's budget proposal, but then there's the other specter of sequestration. Is DOD making any plans for what happens if sequestration kicks in?
They are on message as far as, I mean, they're right in sync with what you heard from OMB and probably the other agencies yesterday. Hale says the short answer is no.
This is not a good policy, that is sequester. It's not. It was intended as a prod to first the Joint Select Committee. It didn't work to get it to make deficit reductions. Now what we need is the Congress as a whole to enact a balanced package of deficit reductions that the president can sign and that will replace sequester. And do it in a sensible way rather than this kind of meat axe approach that's represented there. So, no, we are not planning.
They are not planning, and as they've said before, they think it would be devastating for the military and leave a hollowed-out force. I'm sure we'll hear that message again when Secretary Panetta and Chairman Dempsey testify on Capitol Hill.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, thanks very much for that complete report.